The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show featuring Gogo the Chimp. Nothing like a chimp to liven up the radio show. Easy there. Go, 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 no, go. No, go, go,
hey there, folks. Welcome to the program. Oh, my goodness. Chris Himes, do you know what I did yesterday?
I mean, it looked like you somehow went back in time to the 60s and did some sort of freedom march. It was crazy.
Well, no kidding. I was in Danbury, Connecticut, gardening in my parents' garden. And then I jumped in the car, drove to Manhattan. I got some Bonhoeffer posters in the mail from mystore.com using the code Eric. I put cardboard on the back of the posters. I jumped in a cab and I zipped up to Columbia University, where my friend Sean Foyt and Pastor Russ Hall were leading a rally to stand with Israel, to stand with the Jews at Columbia University. It was amazing because we were there in the very place where Bonhoeffer really found the meaning of his life, right? Like he comes to, I mean, right up there by Columbia, right across the street is Union Theological Seminary. So in the very place, here I am with a Bonhoeffer poster, in the very place where Bonhoeffer lived and found that you have to put your faith into action, which led him to stand up for the Jews, which led him to give his life in standing up for the Jews against the evil of the Nazis. Here we are at Columbia University as Christians standing up for the Jews in our own time. So it was a real privilege to be there. But it was amazing. It was just amazing. I mean, I don't know. I know that it was on Fox News and some other places put out stuff, but most of it has not really been fully reported. But it was unbelievable. I mean, here you have Sean Foyt, a Christian, leading this whole thing. I'm a Christian. Pastor Russ Hall from Seattle, he's a Christian, and we lead this march, this rally to speak up for the Jews, to stand up for the Jews, and tons of Jews showed up until it was thousands of Christians and Jews standing with Israeli flags, American flags. I mean, it was very moving, actually. It was very, very moving. The pro-Hamas students were...
Yeah, what was the reception like? Because I know it's like, it's literally the number one political issue happening right now in the country.
I'm not going to lie to you. I got stabbed a couple times, but I'm cool. That's how I roll. No.
You said no mas, Hamas. Please, I'm done.
No, honestly, their side was absolutely pathetic, as Sean said. He says, like, yeah, they always talk a good game. They were pathetic. There was like nothing. There was nothing. There were so many hundreds into the thousands of Christians and Jews who showed up. It was an amazing show of solidarity, that the state of Israel has a right to exist, that the hostages need to be released. And as I said, I made, you know, these Bonhoeffer posters with cardboard backing so that we could hold them up, because here you have a Christian who, because of his faith in Jesus, spoke up for the Jews. That's our model, right? And so here we are, you know, 90 years later, at Columbia University, which is a very Jewish university. I mean, it's amazing. It's in New York, which is a very Jewish city. And Jews have been, you know, cowed into having to go into hiding because the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian activists are vicious. They are not, you know, following the footsteps of Martin Luther King Jr., who showed dignity and nonviolence. No, they are, you know, it's so ugly. And so Sean said, we've got to take a stand. We've got to show our support. So he led this. And I have to.
And also, just to interject for a minute, you know, it's important to stand against anti-Semitism. I mean, you can have issues with how Israel is engaging the response to 10/7 and still support the ugly, you know, to stand up against the ugliness of anti-Semitism that has clearly been resurrected here. So it's not like
that's important. Know, that's important that you said that. And I thank you for saying that because I'm not, this is not some unequivocal approval of, you know, Netanyahu or whatever, but this is, I mean, listen, what Hamas did, every Palestinian, every human being should denounce it. It was sadistic, satanic cruelty, raping, murdering, beheading children. When you behave like that, you need to shut up. I don't want to hear one word from anybody making it sound like, well, you know, they're being oppressed. I mean, that would be like Martin Luther King, you know, leading a riot to behead white people. Like, you know, the reason we revere him, it was because it was nonviolent protest. And listen, that's in the footsteps of Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer, you know, who revered Gandhi. I mean, this is not about violent insurrection and protest. And so, we needed to take a stand against anti-Semitism, against the right of Israel to exist as a nation. And it was, I felt honored to be there. Patty Heaton, the star of Everybody Loves Raymond, she was there. She's been all over Twitter since October 7th, you know, posting against what happened and what's been happening. And so it was just great to see people, saw so many friends there. Amazing to see Christians and Jews unite against this evil. So I just was honored to be there. Sean Foyt and Jay Koopman are amazing. They know how to do this kind of stuff. And I just, you know, I'm not doing rallies every day, but it was wonderful. And I'm just so glad I brought the Bonhoeffer posters. I mean, he's the face of standing against, you know, the hatred of Jews. And he's our Christian model. So anyway, it was. If anybody wants one of those posters, you can get it where I got it at mystore.com. Use the code Eric. I had to pay like an insane amount for like overnight shipping. But I said it's important that people understand that this is who we want to be. Somebody who we live out our faith. I mean, in my book, Religionless Christianity, the title comes from Bonhoeffer. And I wanted to say, this is what we're about. This is not some political thing. This is about standing against evil. And but it was so beautiful. We were at the gates of Columbia, and you know, it was just beautiful. We prayed for the return of the hostages. I prayed, I spoke, and I said, we bless those who curse us. And you know, we stand for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it was incredible. And people can find, if you follow me on Instagram or on Twitter, I'm posting some stuff. But it was great to be with Sean and with Jay Koopman. I should say that, by the way, in both hours today, we've got some important stuff. So I hope you'll tune in. We're launching today our campaign to raise money to literally free slaves in Sudan. We do this once a year. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. We've got to put our faith in action. Again, that's the theme of my new book, Religionless Christianity, because it's what Bonhoeffer kept talking about, faith in action. It's the theme of my book, Letter to the American Church. And how do we do that? How do we live out our faith? And the answer is in every way possible, in however way we can. So I just wanted to say that last night was a staggering success. It brought attention. It brought and it showed people, like, you know, you're not going to pull this on these campuses. Like, you think you're going to get away with this kind of, you know, super nasty activism. No, we're going to speak up for what we believe is right and good and true. And we encourage every Christian and every Jew to do the same wherever they are. So we're out of time. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Remember as a kid, your parents and grandparents making you try all the vegetables on your plate, or when they coaxed you to eat fruit instead of sweets? That's because they knew what was good for you, and it's truer today than ever before. You need to eat your fruits and veggies. There's no substitute for a healthy diet, but there is balance of nature. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. If you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely try Balance of Nature today. Eat your fruits and veggies every single day with Balance of Nature. I started taking Balance of Nature the day I decided I was ready to feel better. Are you ready to start? Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code ERIC to get the special offer of 35% off. Call them at 800-2468-751 and use discount code ERIC, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code ERIC to get 35% off. I'll say it again, 800-2468-751. Use discount code ERIC, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code ERIC to get 35% off.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added. LegacyPMInvestments.com, LegacyPMInvestments.com. Check it out.
I've got a great story to tell you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Here's what they just did. They bought the Bidenomics.com website name from under Joe Biden's nose. That's right, Americans for Prosperity, the country's largest conservative grassroots organization, not Joe Biden, runs the Bidenomics.com website. That's kind of like Pepsi buying Coca-Cola.com. Americans for Prosperity takes Biden's own words and destroys them with facts, figures, and irrefutable research. If you want to learn the truth about the economy, Bidenomics.com is for you. Americans for Prosperity has hit a home run with Bidenomics.com. Joe Biden can't be happy that his signature phrase is now in the hands of a group that's going to hold him accountable for his economic failures. Kudos to Americans for Prosperity. Do yourself a favor and visit Bidenomics.com, the website Joe Biden doesn't want you to see. Portions of the Eric Metaxas Show are brought to you in part by Americans for Prosperity.
Okay, folks, welcome back. I can't believe it, but I'm sitting here in the studio with Albin. Is it Sadar?
It's, yeah, Sadar like radar.
What kind of a name is that, Sadar?
It's a Slovenian, seriously.
Slovenian?
It's Slovenian.
I've got an even more important question.
Yeah.
What kind of a name is Albin?
Ah, it's also Slovenian. My mother's name was Albina, and of course, I have a twin brother named Anthony after my father, Albin after my mother, Albina. There you go. Thank you, folks.
Albin sounds like Alvin, but it's not.
Oh, I got that as a kid all the time.
Well, of course.
Hey, Alvin and the Chipmunks. I'm like, no, it's Albin. Nobody cares. Is your brother's name Theodore? No.
Well, anyway. Your name, we've settled it. It's Albin Sadar. So that was my question for you. But the reason
we met
here,
once, by the way.
I know. I feel like we've met. You wanted to ask me questions about my new book, Religionless Christianity.
Wow.
Or people have submitted questions.
Yeah.
And you've been elected to read the questions to me.
I have, yes,
okay,
I am.
I'm nervous, but let's do it.
Well,
here we go.
You think you're nervous. This is a great book, by the way, Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil. And there's another part of the front of the book that I think is absolutely spot on. It says, there is only one hope left to save America and the world, active, robust, and public faith in God. And I think most people out there that listen to this show and other shows like it will have to agree, because things have gotten so far off the rails that, we're now in the ocean somewhere.
Well, not everybody would agree. And that's why I wrote a letter to the American Church and why I wrote this book. I'm trying to make the biblical case so that people would consider it, because not every people are on this page. But anyway, so somebody who has submitted these questions you're going to ask?
They're just from all over. So general questions. A lot of them come in like, people ask the same questions over and over again. So I could say, like, Bob, Mary, Jane, and Bill, they all ask this question.
Okay.
In fact, let me start with the first question.
Okay.
And this is a general one to all authors, but what sparked you and your interest in writing this book?
I needed the bread, man, the rent's due, and
it's
I had
all
to come
about
up with something.
This, money.
Yeah. Well, no, clearly... we hope that's not the case. We hope that I wrote it because God put it on my heart, which, what it is? Actually, Letter to the American Church, that book, I know God called me to write that in a way that I had never experienced anything before. Like, I knew I had to write that book. And the response to it has been so extraordinary, frankly, very surprising to me. The publisher was saying, well, do you have more you want to say on this? And I thought, well, yes, actually quite a bit. And so the Letter of the American Church is my shortest book. This is almost as short, but there's some very important things in terms of, when people say, okay, so I'm supposed to live out. I mean, if you agree with the premise of Letter to the American Church, I'm supposed to live out my faith. I'm not supposed to be merely religious as a Christian. What does that look like? Well, religionless Christianity means to be the answer to that question. What does it look like to actually live out your faith in a way that's not merely religious in the negative sense of religion? And I don't know, should I answer the question about the title now, or is that one of the questions?
Well, that's the next question from Mary, Bob, Jill, and Peter. Can you define religionless Christianity? Why is it God's answer to evil?
Well, obviously, I'm happy to say that I do write about all of this in the book, about the title, the meaning of the phrase. Religionless Christianity is a Bonhoeffer phrase. Mm. Bonhoeffer was writing to his best friend, Eberhard Bethge. I met Eberhard Bethge's widow in Germany in 2008. Eberhard Bethge was Bonhoeffer's closest friend, and he was intellectually brilliant, as Bonhoeffer was brilliant. And in a letter right at the end of his life, Bonhoeffer's in prison. I believe he's in the Gestapo prison, which was a dark place, figuratively and literally. And he wrote a letter to his best friend in which he was asking, now in 1944, how did we get where we are, that we've sort of lost the battle? The church did not live out its faith. And he says, if only we had had a religionless Christianity. And he's using religion in the pejorative term that Karl Barth would have used it, that religion as just dead religiosity, just playing church. And Bonhoeffer says what we ought to have had was a religionless Christianity. In other words, instead of going through the motions, the Pharisees went through the motions in the temple. a lot of Christians go through the motions on Sunday morning. He was saying, instead of just doing that, what if we had actually lived out our faith in a heroic way as though we actually believed it? We would have stood against the evil, but we, the German church, didn't do that. And I thought, I need to explain, what is religion apart from real faith? What does that look like? What are some religious idols that Christians worship, thinking that they are being Christians, but actually it's, these are just religious idols? And in the book, I lay out some of these religious idols where you, they're really substitutes for actually worshiping Jesus with our whole being. And so I kind of lay that out. And because it's an example of how Christians have been fooled in the past. And the story of Bonhoeffer, it's the classic case of, he was trying to wake up Christians to be, to stop being merely religious and to be actually faithful in every sphere, willing to stand bravely against the Nazis. And they were thinking, no, we just want to do church. We just want to have our little religious services. We don't believe it's our job to get into that. So in the book, I try to unpack what these religious idols are and how we might be guilty of worshiping them rather than worshiping Jesus.
Yeah, because it seems like a lot of churches now have leaned toward becoming more like social clubs. Come on in, we're going to celebrate this activity and that activity, and we're going to have a bake sale, and we're going to, you know, and then they have their flags out there that don't say, you know, we believe in Jesus. It's like, we believe in what the culture's doing, we're going to follow that. And so where did the religion go?
Well, there's a lot of that. I mean, that's really the darkest side. But to me, it's even churches that wouldn't go there, but neither are they being heroic in the battle for God's purposes.
You know, that leads me back to one of the most dramatic examples you put in Letter to the American Church about that. What was it? 18,000 churches? Yes. That, could you explain that again? Because that is really powerful. I don't know if you redo it here in this
book. No, I don't. But it's in the Letter to the American Church. And in a sense, Letter to the American Church, you need to read that first, I would say, because it kind of tees up what I say in this book. But the bottom line was that in Germany, in the early 30s, there were about 18,000 Lutheran pastors in Germany. By 1935, 2 years into the Hitler regime, only 3,000 of the 18,000 were standing heroically, willing to go to concentration camps, really living out their faith. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got about 3,000 that are 100% in for Hitler. Mm. But the key is in the middle, you got 12,000 basically saying, you know what? We don't need to choose. We're going to stay right here in the safe religious middle. Except the safe religious middle, that sitting on the fence thinking you're being neutral, I always say over and over, the devil owns the fence. They believed that they had this kind of religious carve out, that we could do nothing, that we could be neutral. We're not going to stand heroically against the Nazis the way Bonhoeffer and others do. We're just going to stay here. You know, it's kind of like somebody saying, I'm not going to vote. Well, you're helping evil to win. And I try to make the case in Letter to the American Church that if you think you can avoid making a choice, you have made a choice. You have chosen to allow evil to have its way, but you're pretending you've got this religious objection and you can just be somehow neutral. And that, to me, is where many in the American church are today. And I'll say it is where there are many people who go to churches like that, where you're just effectively playing church on Sunday morning rather than saying, this is not the church. We are the church, and we meet on Sunday morning, but then we go out. Yes. The church goes out of the building and affects the culture and fights for God's purposes in every sphere, including politically, just as we did when we fought the slave trade, just as we did when we fought for the abolition of slavery in this country, just as when we fought politically to end Roe v. Wade. That's part of the church's calling. And so in both books, I try to make that clear.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Let's go on to what does it mean to, and I think you covered a lot of this, but what does it mean to live out your faith actively?
Yeah. Well, again, this gets to the core of what I'm calling sort of the American heresy, is this idea that we don't need to live our faith out in all spheres. We can talk about it, but the reality is, it's like a hobby. It's something I do in the basement. It has no bearing on what I do when I leave the basement. That's the opposite of what our faith is supposed to be. Our faith is supposed to be lived out in every single sphere. And I think that we kind of make faith, as I say, it's like this part-time thing, but it's supposed to inform everything that we do. My faith is supposed to inform my relationships. It's supposed to inform what I would do with my life professionally. Everything is supposed to be informed by my faith. And I think that in America, we've been so blessed that we've gotten spoiled and complacent, and we kind of act like, well, it's this private thing. And we're supposed to bring God's view of things, the biblical view of things, into every single sphere. And a big part of the way we can do that is politics. We have the gift of self-government, where we can advocate for the right kind of for people who are advocating God's policies, or we can ourselves run for office. So there are many things. We'll continue that. I know we're going to a break. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's Nutramedics.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedics, Nutramedics.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandwich, $25. There's six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC. Hey, folks, welcome back. We're talking about my brand new book, Religionless Christianity. That's a Bonhoeffer phrase, which I hope I explained sufficiently a few minutes ago. So, Albin, you're asking questions that the people who follow this program on YouTube, they have submitted. So there's a couple more questions I think we have.
Oh, yeah, we've got a couple more. And speaking of Bonhoeffer, this next one kind of, I think a lot of people were thinking about this one. If Dietrich Bonhoeffer were alive today in 2024, what do you think he would say about the state of America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's fair to say that, well, I say this, I think literally in the first page of this new book, that we're in a spiritual war and that we are in the third existential crisis of our history. The first was the revolution. The second was the Civil War, and the third is where we are now. And what we're fighting now is the forces of real wickedness. In other words, the forces that are deeply hostile to Christian faith. In other words, it's not like in the old days where, you know, Tip O'Neill is the face of the Democrats and we've got some differences on taxes and this and that. No. We are now dealing with evil. I mean, we had the president of the United States who is dramatically pro-abortion, who is dramatically pro-transgender. I mean, really sick stuff. He declared Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, as some trans day of visibility. I thought to myself, I've never in my life seen such an open hostility to Christians. I've never seen it before. And I think if you're a Christian, you need to understand that's what's happening right now. And you need to be awake to it. And Bonhoeffer was awake to it in Germany. He said that what's happening now in Germany, we need to fight. And many, many, many Christians said, no, we think you're just being a hothead and take it easy. And, you know, Hitler, he'll be around, but he'll leave and we'll move on. And no, Bonhoeffer could see that the Nazis were playing for keeps. They wanted to fundamentally transform Germany.
Yeah.
Just as the atheist, Marxist, globalist forces in the world and inside America. Now, they want to fundamentally transform America, and they're doing it to make us no longer the nation that our founders brought into being with the Lord's help, to put it mildly. The Lord brought it into being. And it was once meant to be a city, a shining city on a hill, in the words of John Winthrop, and that it was supposed to be a beacon of liberty and a beacon, frankly, of Christian faith, so that people would look at this country and go, what do they have that we don't have? What are they doing that makes them flourish? Why is God blessing them? How come they can govern themselves? That's so beautiful. What is going on over there? I mean, Tocqueville came over here in the 1820s to investigate, because this didn't go that way in France. The French Revolution was a bloody, atheistic, to some extent demonic revolution. It did not go well. It was a bloodbath. So Tocqueville comes over here to say, what do they have? What is his conclusion? The churches, vibrant Christian faith. It was at the very heart of America.
Yeah.
Now, we weren't officially Christian, because why would we need to be officially Christian? We would just need to be actually Christian. We don't need to be officially Christian. But it was kind of assumed by all the founders that we're going to be essentially Christian. And we have drifted so far away from that. And we are now being attacked by people that are not just on board, but they are openly hostile to God's values, to God's principles, to biblical values, and to Christians. And so you have things that we never dreamt of in our lifetime, the FBI being weaponized against pro-life people. You have children being taken away from their mother and father because the mother and father have a biblical view of sexuality, of the human person, and they don't want to use their kids' quote-unquote pronouns. And in Indiana and other places, the kids are being taken away by the state. This is a level of wickedness, a level of evil we've never seen. And if the church doesn't recognize and say, it is our job, God has called us to stand against this, God has called us to get in the fight, then it's over. And so I'm afraid that that's where we are in America.
I see a simple example of that is this, you know, guy wearing a dress and he's got a beard and he says, my name's Michelle and I want you to call me Michelle. And if you call him Michelle and treat him as a woman, not only does he have a problem, you have a problem.
Right.
And then, of course, the nation has a problem.
You've been forced to lie.
Exactly. Yeah. We are self-censoring. We're afraid. You know, I think if somebody said that to me and I went like this, it would go to the Supreme Court. You're not allowed to do that because that's hate speech. Yeah. Or that's a hate smirk.
But I mean, honestly, that's where we are.
Yeah.
And that's. But the thing is, and again, the reason I wrote this, both of these books, but specifically this Religionless Christianity, is because there are many Christians who feel like they can opt out. They can avoid this. Like it's not going to come for them. One of the chapters of the book I talk about, the spirit of cancel culture.
Yeah.
Wicked Marxist spirit and it's coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to stand against it when it comes for anybody, not just when it comes for you. We'll talk about that later. But in the book, I talk about Bonhoeffer. I talk about Martin Niemöller.
Yes.
There's a lot of Bonhoeffer in this book.
Yeah. Well, he's, of course, all through it because he gave you the title. He was like, what title can I give Eric?
Yeah.
60, 70 years from
exactly,
now.
Exactly.
But when we come back, a very powerful question about, are you optimistic about the future of America and the world?
I can answer that question. It's funny because I say that we're in the third existential crisis of our history. We have survived the last two, but it's a war. You have to fight in a war. And I don't mean just fight with rifles or whatever. I mean, you have to understand what is at stake. And if you don't fight through prayer, through action, you definitely lose. And so when we come back, I'll answer that. And other questions, the new book is Religionless Christianity. You can get copies at ericmetaxas.com. I hope you will get a copy there. We'll be right back.
Then the loud sound that seemed to fight came back like a slow voice.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Get ready for a revelation set to rock the very foundation of our society. Just out on Amazon, a groundbreaking manifesto penned by none other than award-winning film producer and human rights activist Jason Jones, titled The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. The book delves deep into our societal anxieties, exposing the sinister tactics of radical reformers who've been fear-mongering and manipulating us into submission. Jones offers a glimmer of hope, insisting we can turn the tide, but only if we act swiftly. Through meticulous research and historical parallels, he unveils the true intentions behind slogans like Build Back Better and You'll Own Nothing and Like It. But this isn't just a book, it's a call to arms. Jones equips us with the knowledge to defend against the anti-human agendas of global elites, protecting our freedoms and liberty. So mark your calendars, get ready to embark on the great campaign against the Great Reset. This isn't just a book, it's a revolution. Don't miss out. Visit Amazon and secure your copy today. Portions of the Eric Metaxas Show are brought to you in part by The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset by Jason Jones. Hey there, folks. In case I haven't mentioned it, I have a brand new book out called Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil. And in the book, I've never written a book like this, and I'm actually curious what people make of it. But one of the things that I talk about in the book, there's chapter six, is the spirit behind cancel culture. And I talk about how this occurred when the Nazis were trying to persecute faithful Christians in Germany. They were persecuting others. But cancel culture was at work. It just wasn't called that back then. And it is happening now. It's happened at other times. So I wrote a chapter called The Spirit Behind Cancel Culture. And so I say, if we're putting forward the idea of religionless Christianity as the answer to the evil we're seeing around us, we should draw a picture of what that evil looks like. And at the dark heart of the evil we're seeing in our time lies that hideous thing called cancel culture. Most of us have experienced something of cancel culture, or we have at least seen it in operation around us. And then I talk about how it works, and I talk about how, like, you know, somebody says something, and then people freak out about what that person said, and they come after them. The mob comes after them. And that's happened to me a number of times, but it's happened to others much more dramatically than it ever happened to me. And I talk about the spirit behind it, because the spirit behind cancel culture – it is a demonic spirit. It doesn't believe in truth or justice, so it pretends to say, "Oh, that's bad. You did a bad thing." But if you apologize, they don't accept the apology. They just kind of it's kind of like what Jack Posobiec when he was on he talked about the struggle sessions that they have in communist countries. Like they just want to crush you, and so they want you to confess, but then they don't forgive you. Like, you confess as an example to everyone else, and then, you better shut up, and then they send you to the gulag.
Yeah, or beat you with baseball bats.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. And so I talk about that in the book, how all that's really going on is that they pretend to have some standard of justice or equality, but there is none because the devil does not have a standard of justice or equality. He doesn't believe in those things, but he pretends to believe in those things so that he can crush you on the way to crushing you. They talk about that. And it has to do with what I call the spirit behind cancel culture. And I talk about Martin Niemöller. Some people know that if you read my Bonhoeffer book, or you probably know about it without having read my Bonhoeffer book, but I talk about Martin Niemöller a lot in this book and a lot of Bonhoeffer in the book. And Martin Niemöller is someone who, in the beginning of what was going on in Germany, he was vaguely pro-Hitler. He was basically saying, listen, Hitler's not as bad as we think. People around him are more radical, but we can work with him. I've met with him. Martin Niemöller was a very distinguished patriot. He was awarded the Iron Cross for his service in World War I for Germany. And so he thought, you know, Hitler, ultimately, he can be reasoned with. And then, of course, he realized, whoops, I was wrong. And by the time he realized he was wrong, it was too late. And so I write about that in the book. But so I write about the spirit behind cancel culture. And in Chapter 7, which is called Further Thoughts on Cancel Culture, I quote Martin Niemöller's poem that he wrote after the war. Mm-hmm. And some of you know it. First, they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. And that's part of what happens with cancel culture, is they pick people off to try to make an example of you, but they never stop. So if you don't stand for that person who's being canceled, like our friend Mike Lindell, or me, or anybody, then they pick these people off, and then they go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And I use the example of our friend Kirk Cameron, who's been on the program. I actually write about him in this book. That he said, like, I don't know, was it 2012? It was like a million years ago. He goes on like Piers Morgan and says, in the kindest, most gracious way imaginable, that he believes in the biblical idea of marriage between a man and a woman. And for this, he is vilified. People freak out like he's some fire-breathing hate monger. And I thought, how many pastors, I'm not going to mention names, but how many pastors, prominent Christian pastors, did not defend him? They said, you know what, I don't want any trouble. Let the wolves have him, and we'll just keep going. Well, that's the way it works. So they come after one, you don't speak up, and then they come after the next one. And you don't speak up, and they come after the next one. And then eventually they're going to come for you. That's just the way it is. It's kind of like in the book of Esther, which I've been talking about lately. You know, Esther's like, well, you know, I'm the queen, and so I don't want any trouble with the king. And Mordecai says, hey, Esther, you're a Jew. Do you think that when this edict is to kill all the Jews, you're going to escape? They're going to get you eventually. You better speak up now. That's what we need to do. So when they cancel somebody, I don't care if you agree with that person, you should not, jump on that bandwagon of attacking or of being silent. And so actually, I'm really radical about this. When they go after Alec Baldwin, I disagree with him on like almost everything. But when they're like, oh, he's a murderer, I'm like, you know what? No, I don't think he's a murderer. I think let's be fair. Let's be scrupulously fair. Because when you play that game, it'll eventually bite you. And I think, I mean, that's not a great example. Kirk Cameron is the great example. That how many pastors said, we're not going to speak up for Kirk Cameron. Let them cancel him. And we're just going to get to keep preaching the gospel, the dead pseudo gospel from our dead mega church. We're just going to keep playing church because we don't want to fight for what is right and good and true. We're just going to ignore it. That is the spirit of cancel culture. And it's sick. And anyway, I write about it in the book because we need to understand how it works and we need to stand up for people. I don't care who they go after. You don't have to agree with that person or anything, but whenever the mob comes after somebody, you need to understand the spirit behind that mob. It doesn't believe in truth. It just believes in winning. And so that's part of what I write about here. And, you know, we've experienced cancel culture on this program. I mentioned Mike Lindell. By the way, I say support anybody who's being canceled. Go to mystore.com. You can buy my books there. Use the code Eric. Go to mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. Anybody, if they're coming after him, that's an indication to me I need to stand up for them. We'll be right back.
The moon will send you on your way. Feels right.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking about my new book. I'm excited. I got a copy in the mail yesterday, Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil. And I want to say this. There's a number of things I write about in here that are, I have to say, I think that it's going to surprise some people. And one of the things I write about is the Tower of Babel or the Tower of Babel. And I talk about how all religion in the negative sense is a satanic project to supplant God, right? So we know that Jesus actually came to end religion. Religion is the effort to, if I do this and this and this and this, somehow I can, you know, solve the problem of evil. And Jesus came to say, you can never, ever, 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 ever solve the problem of evil. Only I, God, can solve the problem of evil. And then by faith in me and by faith in what I have done to solve the problem of evil, then you can participate in standing against evil. But if you try to do it on your own.
Yeah, what about, you know, we all have the power within, man. And we're all gods,
right,
man.
So that, okay. So
we have
so,
the divine inside of us all, man.
Yeah, man. So that's the point. So
that was kind of Babel,
Satan,
right?
Satan in the garden says to Adam and Eve, like, yeah, listen, I got an idea. And it's always the devil's idea, by the way. It's kind of like listening to the White Witch in Narnia. She's going to say, hey, I'm going to make you my, you know, prince consort or whatever it is. Like, nah, not going to happen. That's what the devil is saying to Adam and Eve. Like, you know, just do, you know, if you do this and, you know, it'll be good for us. So the devil is always trying to supplant God. And the Tower of Babel is an example of religion in the sense that all of humanity unites to create this tower to reach into the heavens. And there's more to it. But it's this concept of we can breach the distance between us and heaven on our own. And what Satan wants to do, of course, and the scriptures talk about this, and I quote it in the book, but he wants to go into heaven and murder God and take God's place. And so dead religion, the effort to kind of join Satan in this and somehow deal with evil, it's this utopianist scheme that you see in all these communist revolutions. It's anti-God, basically. And so that's really what dead religion is it's this way of somehow, it's kind of like saying I want to get to, you know, Easter Sunday, but not through the cross. And so that's ultimately what dead religion ends up being. I mean, there's a lot more to it. You're going to have to read the book. But it's interesting because even Christians through history and now are tempted toward these false solutions, which I would say is dead religion. Either you give your heart utterly to Jesus and say, I am dead to self and alive in you, and lead me and guide me in being part of the solution that you want to bring, or I'm trying to do it on my own. And that's what utopianist secular schemes are. So when you're talking about, you know, the New World Order, you're talking about the globalist ideas you know, what we can do. All these things are at war with God, but often not openly.
What about eating kale, man?
Yeah, eating kale. Well, it's interesting. That's kind of funny because there's a lot of good things you can do,
right,
as long as you don't make an idol of it. And right, actually in the book, I'll just close here because we're out of time. But I was going to say, I mentioned a lot of religious idols, things that Christians do that are, in fact, they're religious. You're worshiping religious idols without knowing it. And I try to make clear in the book, because Bonhoeffer did this, he made it clear that these are religious idols. We need religionless Christianity. We need real Christianity. And Christians are tempted along the lines of dead religion. And we need to be aware of what that is. And so in the book, I mentioned a number of idols. In another segment, maybe with Albin, I'll go through what the religious idols are. In the meantime, please pre-order Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil by Eric Metaxas. Thank you. I don't care what they may say. I don't care what they may do. I don't care what they may.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.